We've spent a lot of time on the ashes of the red heifer. Now we're going to spend some time on the waters that had to be used for that. It had to come from the pool. Well, it had to come from what's called living water, or running water. And it's came from the pool of Siloam, or however you pronounce it. It's a word where it comes from the word Shiloh, or in Nehemiah it's Shelah, but it all has the idea of being sent or conducted, or that's what Shiloh means, or Shiloh. We looked at the prophecy. Let's do it again real quick just to get in mind. Go to Jeremiah 49. I mean, Genesis 49. I don't think Jeremiah has. This is a prophecy concerning Judah.
Of whom?
The seed, the Messiah, had to come through Judah. Verse 8 of chapter 49. And Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down and he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. So that the prophecy that the Messiah is coming through Judah. And Shiloh is, it's a word connected with all the prophecies about Messiah, or many of the prophecies about Messiah. Now, as you know, Jerusalem is on a mountain. And what they had, there's a spring called Gihon, or from the same root as from Gehenna, but it's down, they created steps down to this, I've got ahead of myself. The spring that is at Gihon feeds the pool of Siloam. And there were all kinds of things that happened there, but from our standpoint, from the standpoint of Christ, let's go to John chapter 9. Let's see what he did there. Remember in verse 8 is when he was talking to the Jews that believed on him, and he kept pushing them and pushing them and pushing them until he said, he told them, they thought they had it together. Now, boy, they really had it together. They were, going to heaven because they were Jews by nature. And now they'd accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. And he kept pushing him and pushing him and pushing him. And finally he said, you are of your father the devil. And the lusts of your father are all you're capable of doing. So then, that's the whole thing gets worse. And then they're going to kill him. And then in verse 58 of chapter 8, it said, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but he hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, so passed by. Well, and if you read this, and then it's, I think he went down to this pool. They were up in the temple, but he secreted himself, and he went down to the pool. So let's read it. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation means sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which were had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said to me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. And he went on and on. But anyway, all this took, the healing of him took place near the pool of Siloam. Now, the word for heal here is that word that means not just healed physically or healed from blindness, but he's made whole. Anyway, that's it's also in Luke 13, but we studied that a little while ago, but we're not going to go there. In Isaiah 9:6, Shiloh is translated Prince of Peace. It's where we also get Shalom, where we get peace. It's next to we don't go there, but we did yesterday. Isaiah 8, it talks about it's next to the pool, is next to the virgin's fountain in Gihon. And that's where we talked about it, contrasted that little stream, which went softly, versus the massive strength of the rivers of Euphrates. And how everybody's attracted to the mighty rivers, but this little stream or little spring went softly. Anyway, in Nehemiah, it's another form of the word, it's Hasidlah. But anyway, now this pool, or this spring and the pool, became the source of Hezekiah's tunnel. Now, Hezekiah was the one that we celebrate, or should we read about every Passover. It's where he did everything. He destroyed the temple, destroyed the idols, burned the groves. He cleansed Jerusalem. And many, many times we've talked about your Jerusalem that now is, and your board of elders are the 10 crowns on the 7 mountains of your mind on which the horse sits. And you have to cleanse that in the same way Hezekiah did. And before he died, he had Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 20.
2 Kings 20?
Yep.
Verse
in verse, in you know, the read in 20, I mean in 19, it's mostly about, well, I'm going to go there. Anyway, part of it is in chapter 20, the first part. Hezekiah was sick and he was about to die, and then they promised him 15 more years. And so in verse 11, and Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward by which he had gone down to the in the dial of Ahaz. At that time, Berodachlub, whoever that is, the son of Balaam, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them, and he showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his presence. There was nothing in the house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, What said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, What have they seen in thine house? And when Hezekiah answered, All things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt begat, they shall take away and shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? So what he prophesied, that that group that came only to see what's treasured, to see if it was worth plundering. And Hezekiah probably, you can imagine the con that these ambassadors, how you doing? Man, you've got a beautiful thing here, but you must, blah, blah, blah. And they came only to check out to see if the plunder was worth, or if the loot was worth the plundering.
And Hezekiah was all proud of it.
Oh, he was proud of it. And that's his, and even after he'd done all the other stuff, pride killed him. But anyway, then it says, And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, and how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh, his son, reigned in his stead. But before he died, well, let's go to Second Chronicles.
So the pool is like the pool of Siloam, right?
What?
He made a pool?
No.
And a conduit?
He made a conduit. The pool was already there. It wasn't, but he made it real fancy. Mm-hmm. All right, Second Chronicles, next book. Well, it's First Chronicles first. Chapter 32. Second Chronicles, chapter 32. Well, starting verse 27, it talks about him receiving this. And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor, and he made himself treasures for silver and for gold and for precious stones and for spices and for shields and all manner of pleasant jewels. Storehouses also for the increase of corn and wine and oil, and the stocks for all manner of beasts and coats for flocks. He didn't make them coats. He coats is COTE. Now I lost my place. Why did I go say that stupid thing? Oh, there it is. Moreover, he provided him cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him substance very much. The same Hezekiah also stopped the upper watercourse of Gihon and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David. And Hezekiah prospered in all his works. Now, what this did, this is what's called Hezekiah's tunnel. And it was, I can't remember, but it was like 100 yards or more that was cut in the stone. And they started one end, and one end started where they wanted the water going, another, and it, and they missed each other a little bit, and there's that, they found this tunnel not too long ago anyway, and they can see where they were coming together, and then they missed about a foot or something, so they finally figured it out. But it's what saved, or for a while anyway. It was built in case of a siege so that Jerusalem, the city, would have water. And the interesting thing about this, this is all going on in a mountain, right? So is that not too far below the Siloam and Gihon, the pool. It's sort of down and further toward the east is where the sewer comes, and then it goes there first, and it goes into the Valley of Hinnom. So it's like Gehenna wasn't just the dump; it was also the sewer, and that's why Gehenna. It's all they always set on fire with lime to stop the stench and the odor. So that's what hell is. Everything goes from west to east, and then out that east gate, the New Jerusalem, and then that which didn't originate in heaven goes into the dump. That's what's called hell. All right. So that's a little bit about the pool, where the waters had to come from that pool, the living waters, for the ashes of the red heifer. Well, let's look at Isaiah 22 for a minute.
That's neat, the thing about the waters being gentle.
More, I know.
Relation to the ashes.
Yeah, and just for your benefit, we studied in Ezekiel 21:27, it says, I will overturn, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give him it. So anyway, it's not just talking about, it's talking about us. Mm-hmm. He's going to overturn until we finally see that our only option is emptiness. All right. I said go to Isaiah 22. Anybody have any thoughts about anything? Remember, this is all in connection with my ashes, the red heifers. This is the water had to be from it. And when they were in the wilderness, The water came from the rock that followed them, so it was truly living water. And here it came from this spring or pool. So it had to be living water or running water.
And when we were just reading in Second Chronicles, it seemed like it was almost like a different river, because it didn't seem like it seemed more like a river the way they described it. Maybe it was just the same thing.
Oh, where are we at? Where are we at? Where are we at? Well, it's just a reference. In verse 9 it says, "You have seen also the breaches of the city of David, that they are many. And you gathered together the waters of the lower pool." That was the sewer. It's not a big thing. If somebody wants to look things up, it's talked in Nehemiah. This thing is called the King's Pool in Nehemiah 2:14 and 3:15. It's also talked about in Jeremiah 2:13, Jeremiah 17:13, Psalm 36:9, and Revelation 7. I'm going to go there just a minute to see what I forgot what that is. If I'm a little disorganized this morning, it's because I'm disorganized. Well, it's just Revelation 17 says, "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes." And I wrote that down there because some scholars think that's the pool of Siloam, but it's not. Okay, that's where the waters have to come from. Now we don't have time to start the next one.
It's just neat to me that it has this whole thing about the waters, and it even has a particular characteristic of being gentle in association with that's just one aspect of in the making of the ashes of the red heifer.
It's not just gentle. It's the great word could also be called humility.
Yeah.
And that humility is that we just don't believe that Christ, that his humility is his strength. And the humility lasts until the end. Then finally he arrives, and all hell will break loose. But he cannot occupy where you are, and you've got to get that in your head. And I say you got it because you got it. Wherever your mind is occupied, so the secret of prayer is just the minute there's a need that's even a perceived need, it has to be given up instantly to the Father so that you remain empty. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about the fires that's burn the ashes of the red heifer a little bit when we meet next. Any thoughts? Anything going on?
I like when you talked a lot about a lot of stuff kind of in history and this, that, and the other. But then when you tied it all to the ashes of the red heifer, it had some significance. It wasn't just some water here, a pool there.
Yeah, and we tie to we. I don't. When we studied Hezekiah and Josiah, in Hezekiah's case, we never took it to the point where he showed that I remember where he showed all his goodies to the ambassadors from Babylon.
Yeah.
And then he got. That's what caused right after his death. It was boom. God let him live. I mean, God took him before all that happened and let him live long enough to finish that Hezekiah's tunnel. I'll look it up and find out how long that is. Forgive me, I just forgot.
I don't know how many cubits it was.
No. It depends on whether it was a royal cubit or a regular cubit. A royal cubit is 25 inches. A regular cubit is 18.
Then is it cubic cubits?
What?
Cubic cubits means volume, right? Cubic cubits. Never mind.
I understand what you're saying, but it doesn't have anything to do with anything.
Yes, time to go.
Sounds like you've been hanging around this bum Jeff too long.
It's possible.
I'm not that intellectually inclined.
You're just not mathematically.
I have to go work in my cubit.
I have to go work in your cubit. Take it, big guy.
Yeah, that's it.